Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. There were so many children trying to break the law, she didn't know what to do. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of Rooster Teeth Reviews. This week on the Ruby After Show, we are talking about Ruby Volume 6, Episode 11, The Lady in the Shoe. We've got a lot of great fight scenes to break down for you guys. And also, hashtag Bumblebee is canon. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We're here! I'm so happy!
I suppose we can finally say that the check cleared for the Bumblebee thing. We can finally announce that, that's a thing.
Since season two, it's been a long con, guys,
but yeah.
I didn't know what else to do. Everybody's commenting on my dab. I didn't know what else to do. I panicked. It was a panic dab.
It was beautiful. I appreciated it.
Your form was solid.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Mark never, ever apologized for dabbing.
Never.
Hey there, Ruby fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left is Mark Donica.
She's right. It's me.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello, hello.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Loving the shirt, B2W.
Hell yeah.
And guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RT reviews.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We kind of dressed like the team today.
A little bit.
You're wearing black, I'm wearing blue and white, you're wearing red, and you're wearing yellow.
I'm wearing the full-on yay jersey.
Come on! I'm wearing a community shirt, but what the crap, everybody?
Guys, we need one more person, and then when we step outside of this studio, something magical needs to happen to us so we can become a Sentai team.
Does anybody know a person that can transform into a bird? Stacey, do you have an uncle that can transform into a bird?
Maybe.
My uncle can do a really good Donald Duck impersonation.
There you go.
It's close. All right.
Thanks, Uncle Harry.
That's as close as it gets.
Sorry for throwing everybody off. I just realized, wait a damn minute.
We did not coordinate this, and I changed after work, and I don't usually do that.
I am pro color-coded, team-oriented things, and I'm pro anything that makes me Sentai adjacent, so I'm down. But yeah, for you guys watching live, we are going to be keeping an eye on that hashtag RT reviews. We've got you guys covered on the live chat. We love all of you in there. Hello. We want to hear your thoughts on this week's episode as we discuss it. And guys, as always, we are adhering to the community guidelines as set out by Rooster Teeth, which means we are only discussing the episode that is within public release. So, guys, please be cool. No spoilers for episode 12. We are just keeping it to this episode, The Lady in the Shoe. So don't be that guy. Don't spoil it for other people. There are people who have to watch on the public release. Mm-hmm. So please don't be that guy.
We have a lot of people in our Discord that are watching on public release, so make sure and also join our Discord. The link's in down below. We'll post it again. But we're very familiar with the discussion that's happening that not everybody can have yet.
Yeah. And we have a special spoiler section in our Discord as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everybody's included. You go do that. But for this video, keep it spoiler-free. Mm-hmm. So, guys, let's go ahead and get into it. Mark, what was your initial take on this episode?
My initial take was that I'm a damn mind reader. Because I said it during our episode last week, and I 100%... my wife can confirm, at the end of last week's episode, I was like, I just want that bike to come in and vroom, just take out Adam. And so when it happened, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe that happened.
The writers were tapped in to exactly what you wanted, and they were like, here is the best way to start off 2019, is just seeing Adam Torres get hit in the face with a motorcycle.
I'll see you in that writer's room.
Ultimate satisfaction, really.
Legit.
Stacey.
my immediate reaction to this episode, as soon as it ended, was to demand again. And I made my husband watch it again with me. Basically. This was such, like, just a satisfactory, like, culmination of, like, everything we've been building for a while. And we saw it in so many small ways through all of the battles. It was wonderful.
Katie?
Mine was mostly just inchoate screaming. Sadly, I'd gotten spoiled for the motorcycle thing because people can be super creative with emoji on Twitter. And even if you're clever, even if you think you're being clever, we all have enough context clues to suss it out. So stop. But stop posting spoilers, people. We love you. Stop it.
That's what made me tweet from the group account. Even if you think that, this isn't a spoiler, it's a spoiler. There's only so much of a frame of reference that everybody has for the show. So if you post a motorcycle, we're not back at the bandit camp, for God's sake. There's one motorcycle in this show.
And it was motorcycle impact guy. And I'm just like, okay, I know what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. That said, it was still beautiful to watch.
I
was very happy.
I'm just saying that what a better way to broadcast the fact that Bumblebee is canon than by using Bumblebee as a projectile.
And by using Bumblebee to destroy your ex.
Specifically, to go bowling over Adam.
To hit Adam.
Just beautiful.
And yet being hit with a motorcycle didn't break his aura.
Barely fazed him.
Yeah, he fell off a tower, he hit a bunch of trees, he got run over by a motorcycle, like...
I have a lot of questions about how either A, how not well put together Bumblebee is, or B,
how dare you,
how strong Adam is. It's one of the two.
Aura's basically a superpower. Let's be real.
It is. Well, I was really excited about this episode, and it did not disappoint. It gave me a little bit of everything. You know, I'm never going to complain about a giant robot fight, and the show did not disappoint. There were a little bit of shippy moments. There were some great action, some great development for a long-term antagonist. This episode had a little bit of everything, and the only complaint I had was that I had to wait a week for the next episode when it was over, because I was like, no, give me more!
And that's when you know you've got a good episode, when the end of it is just like, where's the rest of it? I need the rest. Give it to me.
They're stopping here. Are you sure you want to do that?
when you have to sit there and ask, did the show just pull a Sopranos on me? Like I think you're good going into the next week.
If this was the season finale, they left everything how it did, then like, okay, that's cheap. That's come so on.
Mean. I think we would have all done a murder at that point.
That's overkill. Literally. One kill too many.
Three murders would have been okay, but all four of us?
One of us is going to have to abstain.
I'll sit this one out, guys. You go have fun.
I've done enough murder in my time. Take the mantle and go.
Well, before we get too deep into the episode, really quickly, we have an announcement for you guys.
That's right. Before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. But in order for this channel and this network to continue to grow, we need your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. If you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment, and so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV, we've had a lot of experiences here at AfterBuzz TV, whether it's been back in AfterBuzz Prime, the split to the animation channel. We've done a lot with this channel, and we wouldn't be anywhere, one, without the studio, but two, without you, the fans. And we really appreciate this community that has sprung from people who love Rooster Teeth, and the fact that we started, I say we, the fact that you two, Katie and Megan, started this as a Ruby show, and it's grown to Red versus Blue, Camp, X-Ray and Vav, Crunch Time, and Nomad of Nowhere, all of this amazing material that we get to share with you as fellow fans. It's meant the world to us. So thank you for following us along on this journey, and for subscribing on all of the necessary things. We love you.
I would not have pitched this 5 years ago if I didn't think that there would be people who would come to watch it. And you have. And thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here without you guys, so it really means the world to us. You all are the best. All right, shall we get into it?
Are we not already into it?
Yes.
Shall we get further into it?
Again.
Let's talk about Cordovan and her giant robot, her giant mech. Charles Hockenberry on Twitter wrote, and I feel like this is a great way to start off this discussion, when you're staring down the barrel of a giant mech cannon and you ask yourself, how did I get here?
I think I jumped.
This is me. You might be wondering how I got into this situation.
Just like, for a record scratch, freeze frame.
So, again, getting introduced to the giant robot was such a treat. Getting to see it in action is just as spectacular, because it moves and, like, it moves exactly how you would expect it to, because it's big and unwieldy, but super powerful. Mm-hmm. Mark, what did you think of its giant dust cannon?
It's more of the hard light dust, because then we go into, like, super sci-fi of it, where we thought we knew what dust was capable of, and now Atlas and presumably the Shinny Dust Company, a corporation, are pushing it past what we would consider natural stuff. So I liked that idea of the hard dust, or the hard light dust, and the actual cannon that fired it made rocks, like... I was like, what? Okay, cool. Science. I like it. I'm into it.
Hashtag Ruby Science.
Hashtag Ruby Science.
Do what you can when you don't have magic anymore, I guess.
Yeah. The second they said hard light dust, I'm not going to lie, my brain went, photon barrier is ready. I just full Symmetra there for a minute. And I had to recalibrate. Like, no. We don't like Cordo.
Don't give her the cool things.
No.
Yeah, if there's one person I don't, in this world, that I don't want to have access to a giant robot, it's Cordovan. Stacey, what did you think of the giant mech?
Man, first off, it is terrifying and awesome. Watching the battles unfold and, like, just seeing exactly what it could do, I love the way that we were introduced to everything it was capable of and how that kind of came around in the natural battle sequences. So they were showing off, but...
And what I like about fight scenes like this is that they give everyone something to do. Mark, whose contributions happen to be your favorite?
Do you really have to ask?
Yes.
Nora. but with especially by the end when we got, give me back my man!
That was beautiful.
But I just want to point out in everybody in the live chat, yes... Velvet's weapon is hard light. I know. It's been a really long show. Imagine all, like, go back and watch the Red versus Blue show and see all the stuff I forget. So, thank you. Appreciate it. But, Nora.
I do want to drill down on that.
Okay.
I do want to drill down on that. But
it's the first time we've seen hard light like this. Just yes. As a full-on
utilized
Voltron-style particle barrier.
But then people are asking, well, does that mean... I mean, she's Velvet can't be from Atlas. Or not that she can't be from Atlas, but is her weapon from Atlas? How did she get that tech? Did she develop it herself? Et cetera, et cetera. It presents more questions offhand, not directly related to everything that we're experiencing it now.
Well, Cordo said that Atlas pioneered hard light dust, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean it stayed there.
Or proprietary.
Yeah, well... If there's anything that's going to answer that question, specifically about Velvet and how she came to have the weapon that she does, it's probably going to be in a novel at some point.
Oh,
could be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall. See
Mark,
what sticks.
You were at that panel. You were at that panel.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Also, that was a joke, obviously.
I know, but I can't not yes and.
Stacey, what was your favorite contribution in this fight?
All right, Weiss was the MVP of this battle.
Yeah, girl.
She rocked it. We got to see her, like, really flex her range and show off everything that she has been piecing together. And I think, like, just seeing all of that character growth come together in... several different scenes throughout this battle was really satisfying.
Katie, MVP?
I have two. I always love to see strategy Jean come out to play.
Yes.
That just makes me really, really happy.
Stratajon.
Yep.
Sold.
And
you should be ashamed of yourself.
No, I'm with you. I like this.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, you've just coined it.
Continue, Katie.
Crow stepped it up.
Yeah, he did.
I'm so proud of that idiot.
Like, congratulations. This is what you can do when you get out of the bottom of a bottle and try.
And I'm editing myself very heavily now because language of the level of the show is it's kind of hard talking about that. But yeah, no, he stepped it up. I am proud of the disaster bird.
He's flying sober now.
I don't know about that. He's just actually trying.
I think if I were to pick a favorite moment, my favorite moment would be Weiss saving Ruby. And, you know, it's just such a classic Weiss-Ruby interaction where, you know, she's like, well, what would you have done if I hadn't been here? I knew you would.
The look on her face was precious.
It's fine. Everything's fine. She stopped looking. It was quintessential Ruby Weiss. It was perfect. It was pitch perfect. Because we haven't seen a whole lot of moments like that between these two because things have been so serious the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about Crow and about how much of a turnaround this episode has been for him. Because, like, yeah, we got a little bit at the tail end of the last episode when Ruby gave him what for. But here, you know, actions speak louder than words. It's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to go do this. Or like, okay, kids run off, I'll take care of this. It's a different thing to actually jump into action and to be as effective as he was. Now, we've had a little bit of a prediction that in order to redeem himself, he's going to die at some point. Do we think that that's something that's going to happen this season, or with this turnaround, do we think he's already redeemed? Let's go with Mark first.
Well, everybody's going to die, Megan.
You're betting on goodness. Salem, aren't you?
Goodness.
You're betting on a Salem victory, aren't you?
No. I mean, there's still a lot of time left. I mean, a lot of time. There's two episodes left and also the rest of the series. So just because he's had his redemption, one doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay alive, or two doesn't necessarily mean that he's not going to die heroically. I think it's just, it could be a thing where they're trying to go like, oh yeah, Crow's a team player now, great. And then, sideswipe. But it's going to be one of those things where if it happens, we're going to be sitting here going, I told you that it was going to happen.
New child.
That's what I expect if it happens.
You'll have to shake me out of my shell shock first.
Fair.
Told you to stay away from that giant robot.
So let me paint
robots and aliens.
Let me paint a picture, everybody, for everybody. So now imagine we've got the kids on the cliffside, and instead of the robot with the gun pointed at them, it's Quartermaster with his special hand attachment from which that line comes from.
Oh my god.
Why do you think I have to gesture every time I say that line?
So,
I
yeah,
feel like that would be
that
a little...
There's that for your brain pictures.
I feel like that would be a little... Well, no, I was going to say that'd be easier to fight, but then I realized it was Quartermaster.
I would...
God.
I would rather have the cannon. Give me the cannon. No, thank you.
I don't know. This is an AU I would pay into.
But is Quartermaster the same size as the robot? Or is he normal Quartermaster size? Because that makes a big difference.
No, I think Stacey wins with Hold On. Let's hear him out.
We can explore this idea a little more, I think.
Crow is interested.
Oh, my God.
Well, so, yeah, to get back, Stacey...
Tell me I'm wrong.
What's that thing coming out of that robot?
Yeah, to get back, Stacey, do you think Crow's redeemed?
I mean, yeah, I think... I don't know if I'd say redeemed, but he has gotten over kind of the barrier that we've seen him facing. And I kind of like that it happened without it being like a super life or death situation where he's like, I'm going to choose to be heroic in my last moments. That, you know, he stood up with them when they had to stand up.
Yeah, it's perfect. Katie?
Malachroma says, would you rather fight one mecha-sized quartermaster or 20 quartermaster-sized mechas? The mechas! Every single time! Also, I don't know that... I don't know that he's going to die this season. I'm still not taking all my chips off of that bet because nobody is safe, as we proved very quickly in season 3, volume 3, thingy 3. But nonetheless, I don't think it'll be, like, I'm rolling back the prediction of it being this season.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he owes literally everybody here an apology, but I feel like I said, actions speak louder than words. I feel like the fact that he's back in the fight is a good indication of where their mission is going moving forward, or at least his role in their mission. Again, whether or not, you know, Atlas is still there when they finally get through this whole situation, we'll see, because Tyrion's there now, so who even knows?
I worry more about Watts than Tyrion in Atlas, to be completely honest.
They're both there. Terrible.
Yeah, fair.
But, as Mark pointed out, I want to drill down on this moment real quick, if you'll join me in the shipping corner.
Yes.
Now,
I don't know if we can stay here very long.
Shh, Mark, it's okay.
I think
okay.
We
I live here.
Yeah, I think we need to stay here. Yeah, Nora says, get away from my man. Now...
Oh, this shipping corner.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. No. We'll get to Bumblebee after the iTunes talk.
Oh, no. I thought we were drilling down on White Rose. But okay.
Oh. We could.
I like all of this.
We're gonna.
I'm in. I'm down.
All right, we're putting the podcast on pause. This is the shipping podcast.
Oh my God. I don't it's have my a, hell. I don't it's have a, my hell.
I don't have a ship. I have a fleet.
But yeah, let's talk about this. It's just a quick moment. It's a very cute, very Nora moment. But like, I don't feel like we've ever had the official, like, their boyfriend and girlfriend. There have been a little hand-holding and, you know, meaningful looks here and there, but I don't think they've ever said officially boyfriend and girlfriend.
They still haven't. This goes back. No, this goes back to Nora at Beacon. Like, it's not. This isn't really anything new. Just the fact that they've kind of soft confirmed that they're in a relationship. Nora's still the exact same person. So initially, I had an issue with this line. I was like, oh, come on. But then I was like, no, this is exactly the same. It's that now we're in... Now that they have accepted everything that's happened and they're starting to move on, we're seeing them start to go back to tendencies that they had back at school.
Stacey?
Yeah, I think they're rather low-key about it. However, I fully feel that Nora would have yelled that line pre their little breakthrough romance or not.
Oh, absolutely.
That would have come out of her mouth no matter what.
That is absolutely. Just
so Nora.
So, like, if there had been a giant robot attacking Team Juniper in Volume 2, like we had with attacking Team Ruby, mm-hmm. like, she would have said the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah, especially with Ren out of earshot. Absolutely.
I feel like this is going to be one of those things where eventually someone's going to ask if they're in a relationship, and one of them's going to go, yeah, and the other one's going to go, no. And then they'll kind of look at each other like, what? Oh, God. What? Do we need to have a conversation?
Nora
what?
Will say yes. Ren won't say anything.
There you go.
Or it'll be the other way around. Ren will be like, yeah. Nora will be like, nah, what?
Hold on. That's, yeah. That would be the way I'd see it.
I feel like it's one of those things where... They're together. They don't necessarily need to put a label on it. And I don't recall if Samantha Ireland has been like, yeah, of course they're together. That's a silly thing to even question.
It's been a while since we've talked to her. She's got a couple of films coming out that we could cross promote. That worked well last time. So yeah, I would love to. I mean, with the season over, she can probably finally start to talk about stuff.
Yeah, if you guys haven't already done so, you should be keeping up with Samantha Ireland, because, yeah, she's got a lot of cool projects coming up.
Paris Castillo in chat says, Renora is confusing. Like, are they a couple or not? And I'm kind of sitting here going, it's Schrodinger's ship, you know? They both are and aren't until confirmation is observed. But in the meantime, does it matter?
Yes!
I for one would like to know.
Oh, I mean, I would love for it to happen, but I'm also perfectly happy sitting here in my ambiguity going, yeah, all right, cool.
They seem happy, so, like, I'm cool with it.
Yeah. No,
also, Legion of Gaming says it's their first live stream.
We've
been getting more
us.
People coming live, so we really appreciate you coming through and supporting the show.
Thank you guys tuning in. This is so great. I'm with you, Stacey. I think they're together and that they're just real low key about it. And I dig that.
Respect it.
All right. We should probably talk about something not ship related. Or we could
knock them all out while we're here.
Or we could drill down on White Rose.
There's no time.
Mike needs us to move on.
You've got a couple of other things that we need to talk about.
Yeah. We need to drill down on Bumblebee. No,
yeah.
Can you stop saying drill down when you're talking about ships, please? I'd really appreciate it.
No, I think she should double down on that.
Double drilling, please.
Do we have
any barely tapped that.
Do we have any final thoughts on this fight scene with Cordovan? Because, like I said, everybody gets something to do. It's great to see the character development with Crow and with Oscar, you know, also taking point. Strategy Jean is always a joy to see.
Strategon.
You
got it.
I loved how quickly it turned at the end. I love that we have this example. This is going really well. It's going really well. And then one thing happens and everything goes sideways. Because that's just kind of how things happen sometimes. And I love that we had that.
Mm-hmm. This is one of those battles where it definitely comes in handy that all of their weapons are also guns.
Yeah.
That really shone through in this fight scene.
And then there's Jean.
And then there's Jean.
They're running right up to it. I mean,
yeah, but him on the bravery
front. He saved Nora's life.
Hell yeah, he did.
Straight up
paladin move.
In both of these shots, in both of these fights, I would say the camera work is phenomenal. Like that in particular of Jean seeing the bot charge up and making the run. Like those consistent shots are very difficult. Those cut free shots are very difficult. Even some people would say that shooting in film versus animation is hard because you can just set the whole thing. That takes a lot.
Yeah.
So the animation in this episode and in both fights particularly is first rate. I can't even. Like the crew is doing a hell of a job this season, and I can't wait to see that action get ramped up even more in Genlock.
Oh yeah,
Stacey, did you have a comment in chat?
Yeah, so John's reminded me because this was definitely something I wanted to talk about. He mentioned the song that played in the background of this fight. Mm-hmm.
Give it to me now,
and that we need to talk about because
is similarly to how we got Red Like Roses Volume 2 in Season 1. Is this? Well, no, because we got a second Mirror Mirror. So is this Mirror Mirror Volume 3?
I think it's 4.
4?
Oh, goodness.
Because I went and I was trying to find the lyrics to this for the parts that I couldn't quite clearly hear the first time too. And there were at least 3 other versions out there. But this one was so great. We've come so far.
I love it. It's such a good, energetic battle theme. I love it so much.
Yeah. It's quintessential Ruby. I feel like people need to start messaging Rooster Teeth and being like, so when's the Volume 6 soundtrack getting released?
It's the same time every damn year.
Yeah.
I know, but I want it now.
Mecha Soundwave points out about the fight. Fun fact, this is the first time Jean's aura has ever been broken, and it took a giant robot to do it.
Strong boy.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paladin!
Keeps going back to that line from Volume 1. He has a lot to spare.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey,
damn it, Malachroma
in chat.
There's Mirror Mirror, Mirror Mirror Part 2, Mirror Mirror 0.5, Mirror Mirror 365 over 2, Mirror Mirror Dream Drop Distance. And it took 13 years to get Mirror Mirror 3, which is dropping a week from yesterday. Oh, God.
Mirror Mirror 3, Revengeance! okay, so yeah, I feel like with that, I think you hit the nail on the head, Mark. The fight choreography this season, we've always get really good fight scenes in Ruby, but they've really stepped it up.
It's
this
not
season in
just
particular.
The fights, it's the camera work.
Yeah.
Especially because the choreography has always been top notch, Salt Bae that a little bit.
But the cinematography,
yeah.
Excellent work, Ruby. All right. Really quickly, before we move on, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Helps keep the lights on here, helps keep us at this fancy desk. And also, we love giving you guys shout-outs when you guys do leave comments. And I don't recall...
We don't.
Oh, I was like, did we read these ones off last time?
Yeah.
We had these two from Talis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, well. maybe not that second one.
Fantastic by Grahambo32, who wrote Fantastic. I love Ruby and look forward to this podcast every week. Yeah, sorry guys if yours got lost in the shuffle. iTunes doesn't know how to organize the ratings, it's always a little bit of a struggle trying to find the new ones.
Hashtag humblebrag. We have so many reviews, we can't even get them straight.
iTunes can't even get them straight. We're on it.
But it means a lot to us, so thank you guys so much. And if you're part of our international audience, be sure to take a screen cap of your review and put it in the hashtag RT reviews, because we want to give you guys a shout out too. Even though we can't see it, it does still help. So go do that. We love you. And if you guys do we want to tease a little bit
it's not a tease. We just have to do it.
Let's do it.
We also have a special announcement for you guys.
Are you anime fans? We figure you are. You're here. You're watching Ruby. You're excited for Genlock that's coming. So we got contacted by the fine folks at Loot Anime. I remember that there's a lower third, so I'm holding it up higher. We have a special offer, and we're going to be revealing something to you right now. Josh, if you could do us a favor and put up that image, this shirt is going to be available in the Dangerous crate, which is dropping this month. It's a design with Ruby on it. We actually have a prototype of the shirt here. Check that out right there. There's Ruby on the side and the her symbol. At the same time, you can get this shirt by signing up for a Loot Anime crate. If you go to lootcrate.com/roosterteam and use the code use the code at checkout as well, roosterteam at checkout, you can get 35% off of your order. So you get, along with this, there's also a Sword Art Online item, an Alita Battle Angel item, and a Boruto item. But the Ruby, this shirt is exclusive. You won't be able to get it anywhere but with Loot Crate. So go check that out. But on top of that, with every person that signs up, you're also entered for their Kaiju Crate. And this month, it is Ruby themed. And you could win the Ruby Rose Posable Super Action Figure, the Blake Belladonna 1/8 PVC Figure, and the Manga Anthologies Volumes 1 through 4. So all of that is available to... There's going to be one grand prize winner, but if you enter and if you use the code ROOSTERTEAM, not only will you get 35% off of your order, you get this Ruby shirt, you get all of the stuff from all of those other shows as well, but you're entered to win that. So... it goes and supports us directly, so we would really appreciate it if you signed it up to get this exclusive stuff. Go to lootcrate.com/roosterteam and use roosterteam at checkout to get 35% off. Thank you again to our friends at Loot Crate and Loot Anime. Support them, support us, support the things you love with a Loot Crate.
Yay! Well, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, do what we can.
So, guys, thank you so much for supporting us. You guys are the best. We love you. Let's move on.
Yeah.
This Adam fight, we've been waiting for this ever since he stepped onto the scene. And, you know, back in Volume 3, where we knew he was nothing but trouble. Guys, what did we think of this showdown? Let's start with Katie.
I'm so happy. I'm just so happy. I'm super excited to see how this ends, but we begin Yang's entrance by hitting Adam with a motorcycle, and we just go from there. The choreography here is amazing. This is so well done. And just that stance at the end, we're protecting each other. It's like, let me just fly the bisexual flag behind that one. Yeah, okay, cool, great.
Awesome.
Raise it up.
Stacey?
Man, Adam, so the setup for this fight too, going into it, the back and forth between Blake and Adam is just, it really doubles down on just how awful Adam is. But boy, is he stylish. Boy, was that fight scene something to watch.
All the red parts light up in unison.
He Yeah, he's that style. And, like, he is a fascinating character to watch and just absolutely to watch that dynamic play out like that. It was rewarding.
Yeah. Mark?
And Step B brought up what I was about to bring up in chat. Somebody put out, or they, the team used, reused some old, not reused, but they reimagined some test footage that Monty made of a fight between Yang and Adam for this fight. So my favorite parts of it, which were the like the triple shadow, boom, 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 the buzzsaw, and then the slash sheath, slash sheath, slash, were parts from a fight that Monty animated himself.
That's
so
incredible. That makes sense.
Yeah, and those were my favorite damn parts of the fight. And Stacey and I were talking before the show, and Adam's the guy, and I say this very gingerly because we kind of screwed up by how we were describing stuff last week. Adam is one of those people that buys an anime sword off the internet. hold on. Puts red food coloring in a bunch of water bottles, sent them up outside, and records themselves slashing it, like, perfectly, like that, and puts it out. But he's the only person that's, like, stuck through and actually turned that into any sort of training. But it goes back It goes back to when one of the first fan images that we got was Adam in a fedora. And it was like Blake or whatever it was. It's just more of that. But like,
was that Mal?
That might have been Mal.
I don't know. It also might have been a 24-hour call center. Might have been Addison. But and I haven't seen them in a while. But it was a very cool fight, which I don't think Adam as a character doesn't deserve as a fighter. Technically, you would say that this was the day that we were waiting for.
We as an audience deserve this. Adam deserves nothing. We as an audience deserve that. Just this. I wouldn't have to do this if you didn't behave. I'm like, ugh. Wow, are we just copy-pasting dialogue from the big book of abuser stereotypes? Because holy hell, that is textbook abusive relationship.
Make a sound wave comes through again. While you were going to school, I studied the blade.
While you were at Beacon Academy. really quickly, I want to bring up Malachroma in the hashtag wanted to talk a little bit about Adam's reveal.
Yeah.
Where he takes off the blindfold, which, by the way, I don't remember if we established this on last week's show, is one of Blake's old ribbons.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Yep.
But yeah, he takes off the blindfold and we finally see what's been behind the mask all this time. And it is a brand. And I wasn't able to read it at first.
Sock. What does it mean?
600.
I thought it was like 603. I thought it was a number.
Mm. Yeah, it took me forever to realize what it actually said. And for anybody who had trouble reading it out there, it actually is branded on his face SDC. Which, as we all know, stands for the Schnee Dust Corporation. And though that doesn't in any way, shape, or form justify anything that Adam's done, I adore that reveal because that tells you literally everything you need to know about why he is the way he is.
And way back in Volume 1, when everyone was still meeting everyone, Weiss called like, oh yeah, the heiress of the Schnee Dust Corporation, and Blake goes from explaining what it is to also known for their practices for forced faunus labor and a few other things. And it's like, oh, you'd know, wouldn't you? Oh, oh. Do they just have a bunch of branded faunus out working the mine somewhere? Because that's hecked up.
Sorry to interrupt again, but really quickly, if for those of you that come late, we adhere to community guidelines here. Nobody has done anything too bad yet, but we're not talking about next week's episode because that's not in public release. We have people who watch in public release that watch this show. So please keep any sort of you may not think it's a spoiler, but anything can be a spoiler.
Don't be coy.
Yeah.
Don't be coy, be cool. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder, Mark, because I know not everybody tunes in right at the top of the show. So thank you, Mark.
And Maxis Fox points out, Adam literally got branded and he's a bull faunus.
Oh, ow. That makes sense.
I would hope that most ranchers don't brand now. Their cattle across the face. Because that's dumb.
What? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just agreeing.
I was just saying that, like I said, it doesn't justify in any way, shape, or form anything that he's done, but it's so easy to see how he got here, because it's sadly typical for victims of abuse to become abusers themselves. He clearly felt helpless and powerless given his situation, and so that's why he exerts dominance over his partner, or his former partner in this case. And he needs to make her feel small in order to make him feel big. And we see now sort of why, a little bit of what the reason for that is. Like I said, doesn't justify it, but I love it as a piece of visual storytelling. Mm-hmm. And Malachroma points out also what great visual storytelling it is, because he doesn't have to say anything about, like, back in the day when I was, you know, when I was a child and this terrible thing happened to me. No expositing necessary. It's just, you look at his face, you know exactly what happened. Mm. Excellent job, Kruby.
I do love the little bit of exposition we get is, this is his semblance. Like, I'm so glad. One, I'm glad we know that. Two, Blake has a type.
A little bit.
And three, I just love Yang's reaction to it. Like, wait, so he can dish out damage without actually feeling the pain? That's cheap.
I love the setup to Yang's entrance, mm-hmm. because you see Blake's ears move, mm-hmm. so that she can tell where Bumblebee is coming from. She disappears and perfectly lines up in a way to get out of the way. It was excellent. I do want to ask, Blake had a scar on her stomach. Was that a wound from the fall of Beacon? Like when she was fighting Adam during volume 3, or do we think that was from before she left him?
I do not remember. I'm sure someone in chat will tell us in a minute or two once the delay hits.
Yeah, I assumed that was a relic of her past with Adam. That was something he did to her as mm-hmm. a measure of control at some point in their relationship. The way he kind of threateningly pointed at it kind of cued that for me.
That's kind of what it read as to me, too, but I wasn't sure, because mm-hmm. I know that there was a period during their fight where she was on the ground and unable to move.
Everyone says, yeah, that's when that happened.
Okay.
Yep, volume 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I wasn't sure, but yeah, I was like, was that from before, or was that from volume 3?
There, a lot has happened.
Yeah, a little bit.
So we really appreciate the live audience correcting us, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys for keeping us on point. So yeah, and we get this confrontation, we find out what his semblance is, we get a really great fight scene, and I think a highlight is Yang using her robot arm to block one of his blasts, and this is where we also get her hand shaking again, where we get that consistent thing that we've had for several volumes now, where she's still experiencing PTSD from him having taken her arm, and this is when we get the moment where they, you know, Blake takes her hand and says, we're protecting each other. And it's wonderful and great. And do we have any other thoughts on that? Because I'm just going to sit here and beam about it.
So
I'm very happy.
I know. One thing that really struck me about Yang's moment right before they kind of come together for this is when she got hit and she's looking down. That's one of those classic moments. I expected her to look up, red eyes, and there we go. And the fact that she stayed calm, and that it was instead a very calm command, I thought was really powerful for her character and really a sign of how much she's grown and changed.
Mm-hmm. I concur. Mark?
I mean, I've kind of given my piece on all of this. I know that we sort of joke about predicting the relationship that what out here, but there's still time for all of this to grow and change. We have 2 episodes left. Fight's not over yet.
No. It's not. Mm-hmm. That's what it ended. And then I'm like, no, give me more. But we are running short on time. Do we have any final thoughts on the Adam, Blake, and Yang fight?
Yeah.
Yep. Just excellent all the way around. All right. Let's take a quick moment to talk about some predictions. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
I can't tell what the picture is.
Helios Sunwolf in our Discord put the screenshot of Adam stabbing Blake in the side.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Because that's what Yang runs up, sees that, and then runs in and then gets that happening.
Indeed. God. So let's do some real quick rapid fire predictions. Katie, where's the season ending?
Mecha kaiju battle.
Yes.
We dropped that with, this was probably meant to fight giant Grimm that come in from deep water. And I'm like, okay, there's no way that's not going to happen now. We've been predicting everyone being distressed as hell about giant robot being a beacon for Grimm.
Stacey?
Yeah, originally I had thought that we'd end the season or end the chapters with them on their way to Atlas, but I think we're going to have another roadblock before that, and I think it's going to be a massive Seagrim.
Da 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 da.
Mark?
I had a joke here and then I totally dropped it. Yeah, I don't remember what I was going to say, but we're so close.
We're so close. I'm still holding out for Ironwood coming to the rescue at the end of the season, or at least coming to like shake his finger at Cordova and probably Crow.
Yeah, if there's anything that the fandom needs after this season, it's some Ironwood.
Yeah, we do. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
How long has that been on our soundboard?
Since all the other ones have.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reaction videos for these, they live on that YouTube. I also do unboxing videos for Fanversation, and I'm on an Overwatch podcast called On the Point.
Stacey?
I'm Stacey Shuttleth. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttleth. I'm also reviving one of my old hobbies, a jewelry business. You can find me under Nerds Making Stuff, and I promise I'm going to start posting the stuff that I make soon.
You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I do a whole bunch of types of podcasting and streaming. I do a theme park podcast with my wife. I do a wrestling podcast with my work wife. I do, and then we have this. We actually have a secondary podcast stream called Rooster Team Radio. If you go to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, that's where you can find our Welcome to Night Vale parody, Welcome to Vale, which there has been some work on the next episode. And so right now we're in a little bit of a quandary. I'll make this quick. Genlock is behind a paywall. It's behind the first paywall, so
permanently.
So we don't necessarily know the nature of what's going to happen if we're going to cover it here. But what we will say is that you should probably subscribe to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, because we're at least when the first episode comes up, we're going to put some initial thoughts there. So subscribe there, and we'll probably have more on stuff that we want to talk about off-season and et cetera, et cetera. So go to anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam, twitter.com/TheRoosterTeam, lootcrate.com/TheRoosterTeam, and get yourself the Dangerous Box, and 35% off of that. That expires January 27th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. And I think that's all the advertising.
On sale.
And everything's on sale until the end of tonight if you're watching live. So support us how you can. We love you and we want to keep making shows for you.
Yeah. If you haven't already done so, go follow us on all of those so you can stay up to date, especially when it comes to the Genlock stuff.
And Discord will probably be the first place where you find out anything about what we're doing.
Yep.
And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost, so check that out. Guys, thank you so, so much for tuning in. And remember,
dust you later!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.